So James and John were brothers. Well, the sons of Zebedee. And they were part of the 12. John, in particular, was called the beloved disciple, the disciple that Jesus loved the most. He was the youngest of the apostles. He was a young man full of zeal and full of ambition as well. He was nicknamed by Jesus with his brother, the Sons of Thunder, Boanerges. He used to be a former disciple of John the Baptist, scholars agree, and left John the Baptist to follow the Lord. Later, he was going to be the author of the fourth gospel. He was going to be the one standing at the foot of the cross. He was going to receive Our Lady Mary into his life in an extraordinary way. He was going to live with her for many years. James, his brother, was going to be the first bishop of Jerusalem, visited by Paul after his conversion. He was called one of the columns of the church. And he was going to be also one of the first to die, put to sword by Herod. So both of them, John and James, were part of the closest ring around Jesus, with Peter, along with Peter. Remember, Peter, James, and John were summoned, and they were witness of the transfiguration in Mount Tabor, when the Lord became white and radiant and full of light. They saw that. And James, John, and Peter were also the ones invited to Gethsemane to pray with the Lord. They were ambitious, and they were close to Jesus. So that gave them confidence to request, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." This is an ambitious request, don't you think? Whatever we ask, you should do. They were preparing to ask what they were going to ask later. Kind of what of like when we say, "Hey, I have a favor to ask. Can you do me a favor?" And we don't say what. So Jesus saw them coming and he says, "What do you wish me to do for you?" And they disclose their real intention. "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." So basically, you want to be number one and number two when you are in your glory, when you finally establish your kingdom, when your messianic mission comes to fulfillment. We want to be there. Of course, they were not thinking about heaven in that moment. They were not planning to die. They were much more focused on an earthly request. They were thinking about the people of Israel and how Jesus was supposed to lead them into their former glory, kicking out the Romans, restoring the temple, calling the tribes together, and establishing an enduring kingdom. So they definitely wanted to be a part of that. And not a small part. They wanted to be his right hand and his left hand, so to say. So Jesus, instead of rebuking them for even requesting that, he tests them. He says, "Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" In other words, can you go through the same things that I'm going to go through? Are you willing to face the same difficulties that I will face? Do you have what it takes? And of course, they were ambitious and they were proud. So they said, "We can." We're full of self-confidence and self-reliance. Of course we can. We can take whatever. We have what it takes. And the Lord kind of makes fun of them, I think. He says, "Sure, you will drink the cup. You will embrace what I will embrace. But number one and number two are not for you. Are for whomever the Father decides." Jesus had in mind a greater kingdom, a greater glory, much greater than a small kingdom in the Middle East. His kingdom would come across every nation and race through the centuries into our own times. And it is because of that kingdom that we are gathered today, this morning, of course, 2,000 years later. He was envisioning already his kingdom on earth. So he's clear with them, listen, you won't be one and two. Then what happened? Now that the Lord did not grant those places to them, they were in trouble. Because of course they were part of a bigger group of 12. And they left Peter aside in that request. And Peter had also his own ambitions. They also ambitioned those places. So they heard them speaking with the Lord. And then they heard the Lord denying those places to both of them. And then they were encouraged to rebuke them. So they started to argue amongst themselves. We can even imagine that conversation. Why did you ask that? That is not for you. And then we can imagine also the Lord like breathing deep and, okay, making an act of patience and summoning again. Hey, because he just spoke out of the cross. It's amazing. They didn't want to listen to that. So he says, okay, come again, sit down. I will explain you one more. And he begins to explain one more. Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. So the Lord is saying, it is good to have ambitions. You want to be great. You want to be the first. Great. If you want that, then you should become the least and the slave. It is normal that you desire number one and number two places. So I'm not asking you to water down those desires, but to redirect them. If you want to be number one, then become the last one. I was going through this gospel with a student yesterday in Philadelphia, and where I spent the day. He's an athlete. He's a soccer player in one of the colleges there. And I asked him, do you want your team to win? Of course. Would you like to be the best player on the team? Sure. Do you want to be the captain? Of course. Do you want to be selected for a higher league and hopefully play as a professional team and be like Messi or like Cristiano Ronaldo? Sure. Of course he wants all that to happen to him. Is that wrong? Of course not. But you can desire that only for your own sake, searching only your own glory, your own fame, your own power, your own pleasure, your own recognition. And those are strong temptations. Or you can use that to lead others, to lead the team, to help each one of the players, in his case, no, to give their best, to push them from behind, to empower those around you, to use that to irradiate a good message to the ones around you. Another student studies to be a movie producer. Do you want to succeed? Of course, I ask him. Do you want to win an Oscar? Of course, someday. Is that wrong? No. As long as you desire that, not for your own self, but as a mean to serve others, to do good in the society, to influence for the better, to help many attain a higher position, a better situation in life, and hopefully also to know God. And this is, as soon as I am new, I'm from Argentina, for those who don't know me, my name is Father Iván, and I have been serving here only for a couple of months. So I remember very well the first week I came to AU, many people told me, oh, this is a school with ambitious students. Students that come here, they study hard, they want to succeed, they want to excel, they want to be successful in life. And I thought to myself, great, sure, great. That is great that they want to do all this and that they want to multiply their talents. But for a Christian, power is service. Responsibility implies a cross, and fame and recognition are tools to be used. Money, the same. All that the world ties to success for a Christian heart is just a tool, something to use for the kingdom. But it is a tool that we should distrust. We should use if we have it, but we should distrust, because it's a tool that we can easily get cling to. It's very easy to... It easily becomes an idol, if you want, an end in itself. And then we kind of forget the noble, the noble ambitions and dreams that someday we had when we were following the Lord. Jesus is very clear. He says, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt." Isn't that true? "But it shall not be so among you." So the world has their own logic. Great. "But it shall not be so among you." You should be different. You should make a difference. That's the reasons why Jesus calls us salt of the earth and light of the world. We have a mission to be different in this regard. When he says "you," he's speaking to them, but he's also speaking to us today. And then he says, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for men." He really was the number one. And he came to serve and to give and to give himself. So ultimately it's about service and about others. How do we serve others with the gifts that we have, with the place that we have in life through the providence of God, with all the things that we have received? How do I serve others? How am I called to serve others? That is the key and the secret of holiness as the church understands it. It's a way to our sanctification. We are called to serve. And to finish, and as a practical takeaway from this, the greater your ambitions are, the more you need practical, humble, and hidden service. The farthest you want to go, the deeper you should go into the ones who are the least. To serve, every general needs to go back to the trenches if he wants to be a good general, once in a while at least. No? So service, volunteering in a non-profit, and, you know, yeah, soup kitchen, or the other day I was speaking to one of the students here, and he was telling me that he helps in a program called DC Reads. So he goes 3 hours a week or more, no, 6 hours a week, 3 hours twice a week, and he helps out in this school, and he tutors kids on how to read. And it's not that he hasn't had anything to do. This is a demanding school. He has lots of studies. He works and do many things. But he finds time to go back to the inner city twice a week and serve this little kid, only one kid, to read. And that not only helps this little kid, of course, is the one benefited from this, but also it helps himself to realize, okay, what is this all about ultimately? Why am I here ultimately? Why do I have all these possibilities that so many people don't have ultimately? What is my mission as a Christian? So service, volunteering, putting aside some time to help the ones who have less, helps a lot to find the proper key in life, like a musical key. If you know what I mean, helps us to know how to serve God and to serve others, even through our daily duties and responsibilities. Last Thursday we had this meeting. It's called Faith, Food, and Fellowship. So we eat together, and then there's a talk, and then we share a little bit. And after the meeting was done, everything was a mess. There's a lot of food in the floor because we had some salad. So since it's a carpet, I decided to grab the vacuum and just vacuum the carpet. So I was vacuuming the carpet, and one of the students took her phone and filmed me. She was so amazed that she was recording, you know? So I said, if you put that in Facebook, I will kill you. But then I reflected, why did she record me? Is that so strange? Maybe it is strange that I would take, as a priest, I mean, a vacuum cleaner and just vacuum the carpet. But it shouldn't be so strange. It shouldn't be something to be recorded or filmed. So I thought to myself, I'm not doing very well in this service thing if they are filming me when I do something like this. How is your service attitude? In your home, in your family, in your workplace, what do the people that are below you think about you? The people that you supervise, are they happy that you are supervising them, leading them? Or are they praying to God that someone else will come? So today is a good Sunday to think about that, to do like an examination of conscience and to see if we are really serving with the talents and the position that we have in life that God has given us. It is great to have ambitions as long as those ambitions, if we achieve them, are used into the service, for the service of others. I remember when my grandfather died when I was a kid, and my father told me that he would never ever pick up a plate to wash the dishes or anything like that. He would never do something like that. And I don't judge him. It was another age, maybe another education, another upbringing. But things have changed, thank God. We all are more aware that we're all called to serve and to give our best and to give ourselves for the service of the community in which we are. So let's ask this grace to have a servicial heart, an ambitious heart that is good, but for the service of others.